Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Spotlight, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes for entertaining and informative conversations with the unsung heroes working in the trenches of the music and theater worlds. This week's guest has vocal directed high school musicals and performed in community theater productions around West Michigan for almost 20 years. She's also traveled as the child wrangler for the first national tour of The King and I. Let's kick it off. Tell us who you are and what do you do?
My name is Lindsay Schmidt, and I was a child wrangler on the national tour of The King and I.
Very cool. And obviously, that's probably not something that when you were, 15 years old, you thought, someday I would like to be a child wrangler on The King and I on a national tour. So no. How did you get from, 15-year-old Lindsay to that? Like, what were the kind of steps that got you there between there?
It really is who you know. So I was getting married, and my husband has been touring for years, and he got offered The King and I, and he said, that's awesome, that'd be great. We got married on October 1st, and he was supposed to be in New York on October 3rd. So he said, well, my wife come with me? Is there a job that she can do? And so they gave me kind of a choice. They said, well, would she be interested in selling merchandise, or would she be interested in taking care of the kids and being a child wrangler? And at the time I was working on one of the youth theater shows at Civic, and I was having a blast with those kids. So I was like, I can tour for 2 years with kids. That'll be fun. So I said, yeah, that would be something I'm interested in. And I just talked to a few people, and they said you'd be a good fit. So that's how I got it.
Wow. Very cool. Yep. Now, did you have to have any kind of certification or special qualifying skills or anything to do it? Or was it just here's what you need to do and do it?
Not really for me. I wasn't a teacher. So the teachers have to go through insane amounts of schooling. They have to get certified to be a studio teacher. But me, I just got to hang out with the kids, and they let me do that. And that was pretty cool.
Nice. Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what kind of challenges does that present? I mean, walk us through a typical day on tour, let's say. For instance, with The King and I, how many kids were you dealing with, and what kind of things did you have to do in the course of a day?
I had 9 children. There was, so the teacher was also a child wrangler. So there were 2 of us. We needed that because we had to have 1 person on each side of the stage. My day started at the call for the show. I would meet the kids at the door. Their parents would drop them off. No parents backstage. It makes everybody's lives easier. Yeah. And, so then I'd take them back. Their call was a half an hour before the show. And we just make sure they got ready, make sure they kind of calmed down a little bit. They had school for 3 to 4 hours before that. So they just kind of had a little bit of a break, and then they got to come back to the theater. But just kind of make sure that they are comfortable and that they're getting in the right clothes, that they're going to their cues on time, which was difficult sometimes, but and I mean, they're kids, so they would much rather be playing Uno in the corner than going and kneeling on stage for 20 minutes. So, yeah.
Not unlike
and I would
most,
probably rather do that too.
Most other actors either. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were the age ranges of the children that you had to deal with?
The youngest that we had was 8, turned 9. And then the oldest we had was 15.
Okay.
So, by the end of the tour, I had 6 13-year-olds at one time. So that was a lot of fun. but yeah, it just kind of varied.
Very cool. And so on that tour, you said it covered 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that wasn't, I mean, was it kind of nonstop, or was it like a month out and a couple weeks off, or how did that work out over the course of the 2 years?
We had a couple of, we call them layoffs. Layoff is vacation tour right. talk. So we had, I'd say we'd go out for like a couple, 2 or 3 months, and then we'd have a week off and we'd kind of do that here and there. There were a couple of 2 week layoffs, which we ended up taking our honeymoon on one of them. And wow. it was nice to finally be able to, we were calling it the tour, our working moon. But yeah, it was mostly like a week off here and there. Not, we weren't out, I would say, for more than 4 months without a break. I don't remember the exact. Yeah.
That's a pretty long time. That's
yeah. It is. Yes.
And most of those were like 1 or 2 week sit downs at a venue and then move on to another city and that kind of thing.
Yes. So some of the bigger cities like Chicago or San Francisco, LA, DC, they would get 3 or more, but it was mostly 1 or 2 week sits in the cities.
Okay. And so most of this time or all of this time, your husband is on the same tour. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. He was so the head RDO.
How mm-hmm. did that work? I mean, was that something that worked well for the two of you, or, you know, it must have if you lasted for 2 years.
We're still married. Yeah.
Okay, good.
it was different. We didn't have a home. We were calling ourselves homeless because we were just bouncing here and there, and going home and talking about work was something that we didn't really like to do. So we didn't, because right. we were both there and we yeah. knew what happened. But it was nice. It was nice to be able to do that with him.
Did you, I would assume being on tour and traveling to different cities, you probably had a little downtime here and there to be able to kind of sightsee and be kind of touristy and, get to enjoy at least some of that together, which probably was much better than, you know, one of you being out and the other one just hearing about it later on.
Yeah. we didn't get a lot of downtime. I would have to go in for rehearsals when the kids had rehearsals, and it was strictly me because the teacher was obviously teaching and doing her job over there. And I would take like some of the swing kids, or if some of the homeschool kids were able to come in, then I would just have the kids there. And then sometimes my husband, Tim, wouldn't have to be at rehearsal. Often he wouldn't have to be at rehearsal. So it was just me, and he'd be sitting playing video games or doing touristy things on his own. Yeah. But it's nice. Yeah.
At least you got to spend some time together mm-hmm. and be around each other. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially right after getting married. That was probably
right.
You know, that would have probably been not a good way to start the marriage.
Yes. I said, you are not.
We're married. I'll see you in 3 months. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of interesting stories or situations that you can relate about dealing with kids, or, you know, any kind of crazy stuff that happened?
I'm trying to think. They were definitely characters. They liked to do the memes and all of that. They liked to reenact them. I got to go on a lot of their field trips with them. So one of the really cool field trips that I got to go on, we were in Houston and we got to go to NASA and had an astronaut give us a tour and like take us on, some of the testing facilities and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool. Really, really neat that we got to do. Wow. I was like really, really excited about that. Texting Tim the whole time.
Oh,
guess what
great.
I do now. But I'm trying to think of funny things that have happened. We had some troubles staying still during some pretty intense moments during the show. That also, it was funny, but it also got them in trouble a lot. So there was always kind of like a pool going of who's going to wiggle first. Right. But we also had a dresser in a city who said that the kids were hiding their costumes, but they were right in front of her. that was in Chicago, and that was kind of a fun little game for the kids to play. But I'm trying to think of any really funny stories, but I don't think they were really funny kids. I just don't have any funny stories about them.
Were the parents more of an issue to deal with than the kids, or were they pretty much hands off once they dropped them off?
Oh, the parents were great. Like, I became friends with them. They were amazing. They knew what their job was and what my job was. And pretty much we worked together to make sure that that went well together. So
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, there's some bad stories about stage parents that don't know when to let go of things. But I'm glad you didn't have to deal with that.
I was a little nervous coming into it that I was going to have some of those. I've seen Dance Moms. I know.
Right.
So
right.
I was a little nervous at first, but the parents were amazing. And there were two kids whose parents were actually in the show as well. So it was kind of neat to see that interaction backstage, making sure, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And if they got out of line, mom was right there.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
And you didn't have to be the bad guy.
Right. Well, mom said.
Yeah. Yeah. So that lasted 2 years. Have you done any other national tours since then? Or is that something that you would like to do again? Or
I would absolutely love to do that again. That was so much fun. And just being a part of these kids' lives and watching them grow, and I'm still watching them. I'm still friends with them, and I talk with them, see what they're doing and how they're doing. I would love to tour again. Tim continues to tour. He was just on Hello Dolly, and I kind of went along with him for a year on that. So that was nice. But I would love to do this on tour again. It was a blast.
Well, and we should also mention that you are also a performer yourself, and you do community theater, and you, you teach music and voice coaching for students and for actors. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with all these different involvements, it all kind of rotates around theater. So clearly you have a passion for that, and that's something that's special to you. Is that something you picked up early on, or how did that kind of become your focus in life?
I started late in theater. I was in high school, and a friend of mine shoved me into auditions, for the Jungle Book, and I played a monkey. And it was fun. I liked the community and all of that. I didn't get really hooked until I was out of high school. I did a community theater production, and that's where I met my husband. It all ties back into theater, and I love watching that art come into play. And the kids, I was just doing a show, Matilda, which is entirely kids, and watching them is, and I've said this like every single day, these kids are so talented, and watching them all work together, nobody is being mean to each other. They play like I used to when I was a kid, no switches or iPhones or anything like that. And it was it's just really neat. And getting to be back in that and watching kids create their own art. I really enjoy that. And I think that working on kids' shows is important to me. If I'm not guardian wrangling them, right. Just performing alongside of them, they teach me things too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very fun to watch. I mean, watch any performer when they're in that moment, but kids especially, because they bring a certain energy to it that, adults, I don't want to say they don't have, but they just have a different form of it usually, in my experience. So kids are very genuine, and they're very honest in their emotions and their portrayal. So, there's not a lot that they're hiding there. So that's always
absolutely
kind of fun to see. If you could go back to your you know, say 20-year-old self and knowing what you know now and what you've experienced and what you've done, what advice would you give yourself at that age going forward to kind of help yourself navigate things, you know, easier, or maybe take a different route or do something different? What did you tell yourself at that age?
I would definitely tell myself to work hard. I know in my mid-20s, I was not working very hard because it all came, this sounds ridiculous, it all came a little easy to me. So I just did it. And I ran karaoke for a really long time, so I was blowing out my voice doing that. And so I think just in general, I just work harder and kind of focus a little bit more, because I think that I would have maybe taken that working in high schools. I think I would have taken that a little bit more seriously. I probably still would be doing it if I hadn't just thought of it as kind of like, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's do Annie. And I think that would probably be the biggest advice that I would give myself.
That's what I hear from a lot of people is basically, you know, focus, work hard, that kind of thing. You know, it's the maturity that we develop later on and the discipline that we develop that we now recognize as important, you know, tools that we either didn't have or didn't understand fully back at that age. And so, yeah, that seems to be a common thread. And you're right in the ballpark with everyone else.
Right.
Any kind of social media stuff that you would like people to maybe if they want to follow along with what you're up to or see what you're doing?
Yeah, if they want to see my super exciting life, I have an Instagram. It's Lindsay Butt. It's a nickname from way back when.
I'm sure there's a story there.
Super professional. Yeah. I can't get rid of it. So that's just it. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's really all that I use.
Okay. And we'll put a link in the show notes. So if people want to click through to that and follow along, they can find that easily enough. Well, thanks very much for sharing your time with us and kind of explaining, you know, what you do behind the scenes in that capacity. Because that's, you know, I never gave that kind of thing a thought. You know, it's like you go to see a show somewhere and there's a bunch of kids and you just assume that they're just like showing up like adults and doing their thing and going back, you know, and having a drink later, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, there has to be people there to make sure they do all those things and you know, be in the right place and all that stuff. So now we know.
I call myself the backstage Mary Poppins. That's what I was saying. That's who I am.
Practically perfect.
We're still also practically perfect.
Very good. Yes. Lindsay, thanks again for talking with us, and we will see everybody else on the next episode of Beyond the Spotlight.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Spotlight. If you liked what you heard, please share this episode with your friends on social media and leave a rating and review on iTunes. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any episodes. Or head over to our Facebook page for show info, extra content, or to suggest show ideas. I'm John Diener, and this has been Beyond the Spotlight.